Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Maron to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Maron at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
I'm Sam Legasek.
And I'm Dreadful Dan Gallagher. And we're two old buddies that have lived our life at the edge of the mainstream.
So come join us where things are a little odd.
This is the Podcast.
You've got to believe.
It's alive. It's loose.
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned out cinder.
Guys, welcome to Oddcast, Movies, Music and Gaming, and welcome to another minisode where we just talk about shit that we've been up to the last week for the most part. In case you guys don't know, we are recording with Harry Cloud and we'll be releasing an episode this Sunday on the Melvins album Stag. It's going to be a long one, so make sure you give it a good listen. Before you do, and also recommend listening to Harry Cloud's album The Pig and the Machine, which is really good and you should listen to it anyway. So yeah, Dan, before I crack on with it, what have you been up to the last week? Any cool movies or music or games or general shit that's been going on that you want to talk about?
Yeah, so I continued my X-Files
The X-Files update. What's just happened?
I watched the movie.
Oh, right. Fight the Future.
Yeah, it's not actually called that.
Is it not?
It's just called The X-Files. Turns out that was just the strapline, because I remembered that as well.
Oh,
it's the Mandela effect.
That's weird.
As they call it. It was better than I remembered the first time I watched it. I didn't watch it when it came out, and I keep thinking, why the hell did I not go to this? I mean, this would have been such a treat. 1998.
I definitely watched that. I'd have been interested to see it.
I think I wasn't up to speed because, you know, all the like broadcast dates in the UK were all fucked up.
Yeah, we were like 6 months behind or something stupid. And that was if you had Sky.
That's if you had Sky, yeah. Poor old me on the BBC, I'm like a year behind.
Yeah.
So I think I thought, I'm going to ruin it if I watch it, and maybe I'll catch up and then I'll watch it another time, and then it's never happened. And I didn't watch it until a few years ago when I did the X-Files, like, what do you call it, binge. I really hated it actually when I watched it that time.
Yeah.
And this time I was a bit more forgiving, but yeah, it really just kind of like takes it in a different direction. They, you know, and they kill off at least one major character. And but the main problem, the thing that I don't like is that up until then, the whole thing with like the black oil is that it's the way the aliens infect people and kind of make them hybrids and will make them like a drone race. And in the film, they go, no, it's evolved. And actually, it's incubating an alien.
Okay. I don't remember any of this, but yeah.
Yeah. So suddenly you've got all this like, you know, we're coming to the big screen. Suddenly it's like alien. There's these like huge, great, big, like savage aliens with claws popping out of people's bodies.
I don't remember that at all.
Like slashing them and Scully's like, it's like, oh my God, here we go again. She's been kidnapped, abducted, and she's been taken away and Mulder's got to get a vaccine to cure her. And it's like, haven't we seen this twice already at this point? But yeah, I mean, there are some good bits. It's quite cool. It starts with them with the X-Files closed down and they're doing routine FBI work and they're trying to find like a bomb. Someone's called in a bomb in a big building. So that's quite cool. And then there's like some big, you know, set piece explosions with the bomb going off and all this. And yeah, I mean, it's not terrible, but yeah, just that I had a fundamental issue with the kind of direction it went in.
I remember thinking, yeah, I bet. I remember thinking that it looked like a TV movie. I remember thinking it didn't look like, and I haven't seen it. I probably haven't seen it since it came out. Well, I would have done because I was massive into X-Files, but as in like around that time anyway. But I remember thinking it didn't feel cinematic enough. It had some cinematic set pieces.
Yeah.
But generally from like shot to shot, it felt very small. It still felt very TV. There's no considered shots. Everything feels very flat. Everything feels like a mid shot. There's no like close-ups or like stylistic choices or whatever. It's just kind of a feature length episode.
Yeah. It was directed by Rob Bowman, who was one of the guys that worked on the show. So I don't know if it was like the first thing he'd done for cinema, but
Felt like it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, yeah, that's down and on to season 6 next time.
Jesus, you're really cracking on with it. That's cool. What else have you been doing?
I completed for the first time in my life Sonic the Hedgehog.
Brilliant.
On the Sega Mega Drive Mini.
The first one.
AKA the Genesis, the first Sonic the Hedgehog.
I don't think I've completed it. I've definitely completed Sonic 2. I know that. And I did that through cheating back in the day. But yeah, I don't think I've ever done
with
Sonic
1. With
a
Game 1. Genie.
No, it was it was a special code and you could get golden Sonic and he turns gold and invincible.
You little cheater.
Yeah, but this was like, it was like, I'm never going to complete this game. So this I cheat. But yeah, I don't think I've ever done the first one at all.
I cheated because I used the built-in save
points. Yeah,
but I just saw it as time saving. You know,
yeah.
I was like, I will work out how to do this, and especially now, I felt a bit sad for myself, to be honest, for my younger self, because I was like, there were obvious points in the game that I just got stuck on, which I just couldn't get past. Cause I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And then obviously you die and you have to play through it all again to get another chance at trying a different approach.
Yeah.
And I just went on YouTube and went, how do I do that bit? And I was like, okay. And just did it. I thought.
They were purposefully made to be hard because they were very short and they had a very high price tag and they had to make sure that, you know, it was worth that amount of time. You couldn't just complete it in 3 or 4 hours. It would.
Yeah, 30 years.
Yeah.
30 fucking years. Yeah, it's taken me to complete that game.
You still had to cheat.
I even got all the Chaos gems, which I was very proud of.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a big thing. Well, that's good. How long do you think it took you in the end to do?
What, total playing time? 2 hours.
Fuck, is that it? Brilliant. That's so good, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, but that's why it was so fucking difficult. That's good. Glad you did a bit of that. What else you been? What else you been doing?
So a bit of a follow up on our earlier episode of a few months back where we did Mort Garson.
Mm.
Do you remember we did it because those records are being reissued?
Yeah.
Well, and in the Nerd Corner, we spoke extensively about the Splash vinyl variants.
Yeah.
So yeah, I ordered them and they've turned up.
Oh, lovely.
So I've been spinning those.
Are you going to do a really cool review on them on your channel?
I did say, I recorded earlier when I opened it, I did like an unboxing kind of thing. Yeah. I was like, I've reviewed these. So people can go and listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
I just kind of went, here it is, have a look at that.
Yeah, nice.
They are gorgeous. They're things of beauty. And yeah, when I play them, I'll probably just post little reviews on Instagram, just, you know, saying if the audio quality is any good, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, nice one.
So Sam, what have you been doing?
Well, Dan, good question. I'll tell you what I've been doing. I've watched, there's a lot. It's been a lot happening in the last week. Here's some stuff that I've watched. Holmes and Watson, which is Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, which was one of the stinkers of this year. It came out around the beginning of the pandemic. And I was watching it going, I don't know what people expected, because this is exactly like every single Will Ferrell film pretty much that's come out in the last like 15 years.
Yeah.
It's just like a series of sketches, basically, where the joke is pretty obvious. And I actually laughed in a few of them, and I had really like low expectations. And I was just thinking, what were people thinking they were going to go in and see? Like, it's like when people watch like shitty Adam Sandler movies and they're like, oh, it's awful. It's one. It's like, yeah. Did you go in thinking it was going to be good? It's like, it's not. It's exactly what it is. Stupid, silly nonsense that they obviously just pissed about doing for a laugh.
People only go to punish themselves.
Yeah.
It's a form of self-flagellation.
Yes. But honestly, I genuinely didn't think it was that bad. I thought it was a bit silly fun. And I've seen a lot worse. I've seen a lot of like comedies which people think are really funny. And I'm like, I didn't even smile once. But with these, at least there was like some just stupid, general stupid humour. And you can tell they're just having fun with it. They're just mucking around. And I quite like that when it's like they're in on it in a weird way. Like people are going, oh, their accents. And it's like, oh, fuck, are their accents? Like, fuck off.
like morons from outer space. Just mucking about, making a fun movie that you enjoyed so much.
In a way, yeah, because Morons from Outer Space had a couple of moments where I did laugh, just the Mel Smith stuff. And this was the same thing, but the frequency was higher. And then Mandalorian, I've been watching that, and that's really...
Oh, hold on.
Go.
Just before we move on, technically, then, that is your film of the year. Because I haven't heard you speak as glowingly about any other movie that came out this year. So...
Tenet.
Is it in the running for a Sammy Award?
Well, I watched it. No. It's not that good. Tenet, I saw again as well. It came out this year and it's out on demand. And it was really good watching that again because I could hear what people were saying. And it really does, for a film that's intrinsically about the time travel and the science of it and what was actually happening with the plot, and having to pay attention to it, it's good when you can actually hear what they're saying. So, yeah, it was good to kind of watch that back again. And it's still like the last... I liked it more than I did the first time I watched it, but I liked the shock, not the shock, but the initial reaction I got from watching all the time stuff the first time I watched it more, if that makes sense. So if he just released it where I could actually hear what was going on, I would have loved it the first time I watched it much more than I actually did when I came out. But I really recommend Tenet, and I know some people a bit like, you know, it's supposed to be a bit shit, but I think I really, really, really enjoy it. And it's one of the better time travel films out there.
Where would you rank it alongside, say, Back to the Future Part 3?
It's better than Back to the Future Part 3. Fucking hell. Most things are. Jesus. Out of all of them, you chose 3. It's worth watching that, definitely, for anyone out there. But yeah, I've been watching the new Mandalorian. That's been really good. The last one had a Clone Wars character in it, the animated Clone Wars thing, which is pretty sweet. It also had Michael Biehn in it, who looked old. It was weird because I was looking at it, I was like, that's Michael Biehn. And,
Michael Bolton?
No, Michael Biehn. He's Kyle Reese in Terminator. And,
oh, really?
Oh, he's, that chap. Yeah, and also he's in Aliens and all that stuff. He was like in 3 of the biggest movies or whatever of the 80s, or at least 2.
And no one remembers him.
And he's very
unrecognizable.
I think he just became an alcoholic, to be honest with you.
Oh, really?
And he's been in stuff since. Like, he always pops up in stuff, but this was like the first big thing I'd seen him in since, like, when he was in the Tarantino thing, I think, Death Proof, whatever it was, or Planet Terror, whichever one it was. And so watch that. What else have I watched? I've been watching a Netflix series called Blood of Zeus, which are by the same people that did Castlevania. And it is fucking great. It is wicked. You'd really like it. Have I talked to you about Castlevania Netflix?
No, we haven't done Castlevania.
Fuck me. Like, so Castlevania is the game, right? And yeah. They've done at least 2, but I think maybe 3 series of Castlevania now. And it is top-notch stuff. Really like it. It's really great. Characters are great. Story's really great. Good pacing.
Action, fantasy?
Yeah. Yeah, drama. It's basically like the first series starts and it's all like, it's quite like horrific. Like, so the drawings of the monsters and the horror side of it, you really like.
Yeah.
But yeah, Castlevania is basically like Dracula against the humans. And the humans are, but it's good because it has that whole thing of like, who's the bad guy? Like, it's always morally ambiguous. Like, so you're never really, all the bad guys in it are super interesting and the good guys are super interesting as well. So it's never just like, you've got a boring good guy and a bad guy who's got whatever. Like, it's just so well thought out. Visually it's great. I love the way they develop the plot. It's very, because it's animated as well, it's very efficient. So you never feel like there's like filler or like what am I doing wasting time in this bit or whatever. It's very like snappy. And Blood of Zeus is the same thing. So Blood of Zeus is basically, as you can imagine, it's about the son of Zeus who finds out he's the son of Zeus. Okay. And at the same time, there's like demons and they've become demons because they fed off the giants, and the giants were the ones who battled the gods. And it's all like that Greek mythology, obviously like not proper, but as in like inspired by or whatever. And it's cool because you've got like all the stuff on Earth and like the humans versus the demons and all this kind of cool stuff that's going on. And then you've kind of got the more political like power grab or whatever that's happening between the gods and that kind of like family / like dynamic or whatever, and what's happening up there. As well as the bloody war that's kind of going on underneath.
And that sounds cool. I like Greek mythology.
Yeah, it's Netflix original stuff. I mean, if I was you, I would say, because Blood of Zeus is quite recent and they've only just done the 1 series and it's like 8 episodes or something, but they're only like 20 minutes. So you get through them fairly quickly. But I would say go through Castlevania and then go through Blood of Zeus, and you could do it like in, well, if you really want to, you could do it in a couple of days. But really, really good. I think you'd love it. It's just good animation as well. It's and like the design of like the monsters and shit, especially like the giants when you see them at the beginning of Blood of Zeus. It's like, these giants are cool. Like, they just look cool.
That sounds good. Yeah.
Check
that out.
Yeah, it's definitely worth them watching. And yeah, so that's kind of it in terms of stuff I've watched, pretty much. I've been playing a few things. I tried playing Battlefield 5. I spoke to you about this last week. I got a little bit further and I've turned it off and deleted it, and I'm never going to play it again. Can't be bothered. There's basically a bit where it was like, okay, get in your Jeep and here are 3 things really far away that you've got to, and I was like, oh God. I drove to like the first one and I was like, well, I'm just going to shoot things and try and get there. And basically, as soon as I started shooting, I just got swarmed and I was dead within about 15 seconds. And then I tried it again and again. I was like dead within about 20 seconds. And I was like, nah, done. Off. Thank you. Bye. Can't be bothered any of this.
Life's too short.
Yeah, life's way too short. So instead, I played a little bit of, I think I talked about it before, like it's called like the Plague Innocence or something, which is where there's all like the rats and you're trying to stay in the light and keep away from the rats. And it's old timey French during the plague or whatever. And but it's all like, it's good because it's like you've got your little brother who's like got some kind of like magical virus or something. And you're not quite sure how that fits into the story. And you're just trying to get from A to B without dying. And it's like really grim. And it's cool like how there's some bits in like the light. The rats can't go into the light, but they're like a sea of them. They've done it. So they animate so quickly. It's just that they're like fucking flies buzzing like all over each other. Mm. It's a really cool effect. But you've got bits where it'll be like someone like half empty. So half lying out in the light. And there's all rats on the bottom half. And then if you go forward with the light and the rats clear off, you just see it's just like pure bone just from that half point where there's just like, cut off point where like the rats have like eaten them up. All this shit, it's good. So I was playing a bit of that, but then I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to play Death Stranding, which is the Hideo Kojima game. Hideo Kojima having made the Metal Gear Solid series and all this stuff. And it is so, I've played about 6 hours now, actually, I think. And 5 or 6 hours, and it's so weird. And it's basically you're going around a post-apocalyptic America, carrying stuff, delivering things. You're trying to stay away from these, like, basically they're called BTs and they're ghosts. And you've got a little baby who can warn you when you're getting near a ghost. And he's supposed to be like, feel like he's still in a womb. And apparently, like, the baby's mother is, like, in a coma somewhere else. And it's this kind of gateway between the world of the dead and the world of the living. And that's why it's energy.
Because the baby hasn't been born properly.
Yeah, exactly. It's fucking crazy.
So where is this baby?
It's in, like, a little incubator thing that's, like, strapped to your front.
That's vile.
It's weird. And, like, but the thing what makes it even fucking weird, right, is you've got to like sometimes like rock it and all this stuff by like shaking your controller up and down and whatever. But if you go near a BT, like one of the evil things, whatever, and they look fucking cool. They look really fucking great. If you go near one of them, or if he like goes in water, or if you're going into water and it like starts to reach him, it will start crying, but it cries from your PlayStation controller, which has a little speaker in. So it's like it's there on your phone and it's really quite loud. I need to turn it down actually. And then suddenly it's like you've got this baby crying and it's like making these weird baby noises and it's like, this is fucking horrible and it's right there in my face. And especially like having kids, like you know that sound of like a crying baby and it just sets something off in you that's just like a bit, it just makes you anxious.
They should do a special baby-shaped control pad.
It's good. It's good though. It's really like, it's weirdly like Zen, as I was saying before. And there's a lot of like mechanics and gameplay stuff that you've got to be aware of. And essentially it's like a survival game. I just really enjoy it for a really weird reason, because I can see why people hated it. It's a very much a love-hate game when it came out. People were giving it 9s and some people were giving it like 3 or 4s.
Yeah.
And I can see why. It's just not a game made for like mass appeal whatsoever.
Yeah. Certainly sounds unusual.
It's really unusual. It looks great as well. Like visually, it's really stunning. Danganronpa 2. And I was kind of, we were talking about this because there's a character called Sonya Nevermind who comes from Novoselic.
Sorry, I thought this was your mining of the subreddit, Nirvana subreddit, looking for the teenage girls.
What?
You're like, I'm chatting to this girl, Sonya Nevermind.
No, but this is a completely fictitious character. He's a cartoon.
Well, I thought it was someone's screen name.
No, that was her name up the side. That's why I said Sonia Nevermind, because it's on the screen and she's from Novoselic. So it's a clearly a Nirvana fan. Anyway, Danganronpa, I played the first one and it's basically about a bunch of kids in high school and you play a kid who can't remember his life or whatever. And it ends, basically, it's like Battle Royale or something. You're all in this school and people start dying and then you go through like a murder mystery each time and you have to figure out who killed who and why they did it and all this stuff.
Oh, I like that.
Really good, right? That was the first game. They're all like stupid, like Japanese, like over the top characters. Each one has like their own, you know, thing going on. And then this is the sequel to it, which is a little bit different. But you can play it on your mobile now. So I bought it for my mobile. I had it on PSP, if you can believe it, or PS Vita or whatever, first one. And yeah, it's just kind of started and I'm just kind of getting to know the characters. But I was playing it going like, yeah, I forgot how much I like the Danganronpa series. And I can see why it's still like a cult favorite. And there's like been like 6 or 7 of them, I think, in different variations. That was good. And that's basically it. I don't know if you
anything been in your lug holes?
No, I haven't listened to anything because I was preparing for Melvin's and listening to a bit of, Harry Cloud, obviously. I was going back through, I've realized that about in like June time, I made a 2020 playlist of cool stuff and I forgot I had it basically, until recently when it came with that Spotify, here's your 2020.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, like some of this stuff is really fucking good. And I completely forgot about it. I'm just trying to think what were the ones that I particularly liked. Oh God. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the stuff we kind of talked about when we were doing like the albums of 2019 and stuff, and it's kind of like still a little, you know, just crossover from there. But yeah, there's some old stuff as well that I liked. I'm trying to look and trying to think of one example, but, I have to like listen to it, properly. Tail Whip, Men I Trust. That's pretty good.
Don't know that.
No, it's, and all these just people that are just like random songs I've pulled from whatever. Nothing. It's something we should do, like another hit and shit or something. And,
We should definitely do our, albums of the year. I'm starting to do that on my channel. Just anything, obviously, that I actually bought. Covering it before we get to the end of the year. I did Kariki. I'm just about to do Dan Deacon.
Okay.
Yeah, there's still some stuff yet to come.
I haven't. I've not done any albums really this year. Like most of the albums we've done, I've already talked to you about, like Mets, Idols, whatever, the usual. So I haven't done any of that. I saw like a few things I was going to talk to you about. I think, have you seen like David Lynch is going to be making a new Netflix show and people are saying it might be a Twin Peaks spin-off?
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. You didn't watch the last Twin Peaks, did you?
Oh, I did.
Did you? Oh, I forgot. Which I really loved. There's a cool bit of news as well that came out. I don't know if you saw this. HBO Max, which is the American kind of subscription service for HBO, I think is what it's called, and Warner Brothers are basically any Warner Brothers films coming out over the next year, I guess up till the end of 2021, are going to be released on the same day on cinema and on HBO Max, which is quite exciting because that means that you don't have to go to cinema.
Yeah.
I guess they've just got an influx of films they need to just get out and maybe it kind of interferes with their scheduling they already had for that year. But that includes new Wonder Woman movie, if anyone's bothered about that. And that's going to be the first one and that's Christmas Day. That's coming out as in this
year. Who's playing Wonder Woman?
Gal Gadot, same one. He's been doing the last Justice League ones or whatever.
Not Linda Carter then?
No, Linda Carter though.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I know. I was going to say Linda Carter's in Death Stranding, but I don't think it is Linda Carter. I think that's the wrong one. No, it's not Linda Carr. It's the Barnick woman. Who is the Barnick woman? Lindsay Wagner. She's in Death Stranding. Yeah, whatever. Matrix 4 next year when that comes out. That'll be like released to watch. Dune, the new Dune, which I'm definitely looking forward to seeing.
What, the Frank Herbert thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Really? They've done another...
Yes, yeah, it's Denis Villeneuve, however you say it, who did... you know, Blade Runner and Arrival and,
oh, really?
And all this, yeah.
Has there been Christmas. Any other remake since the Lynch version?
No. There was, actually it's a lie, there was the, I think there was a TV one.
Okay.
I believe in the 90s, but no, not like a proper, yeah, rings proper a bell. Movie.
That'd be quite good.
Yeah, the trailer's out. You can see the trailer. It was supposed to be out now, but they've pushed it back an entire year. Oscar Isaac's in it, some other people. I think Jason Momoa's in it. Maybe I made that up. Yeah, but it should be good. But yeah, Suicide Squad, the new Suicide Squad movie will be coming out, anyway, all that stuff. And yeah, a bit of bad news found out today as well. You know, the Immortan Joe from Mad Max Fury Road, he also played Toe Cutter in the original Mad Max.
Yeah.
Died. The actor died. Hugh Keysburn, I think his name is.
That's sad.
Yeah, it was a shame because I know there were like 73 or something. I know they were making a new Mad Max prequel in terms of Furiosa, who was Charlie Theron's character. And I was thinking, oh, it'd be cool because he'll be in that. But obviously, he's not going to be now. I mean, he's wearing a mask, so they can maybe get someone else in, but it's a bit of a shame.
I really liked that film. And I did not expect to like it. It's not really my kind of film.
Yeah, Fury Road.
Yeah, Fury Road. But they really, I just think they nailed it. Yeah. Like,
it was my movie. I did like, did I do it with you? I did like top, I don't know, maybe I didn't then. Wow. I did like top 10 films of the decade or something.
Yeah,
it was in there. And Mad Max was number one, I think it was. Number one or number two. No, Inception was number one. I think Mad Max was number two.
They just went all out. They were like, "This is we're going to go for this crazy comic book stylized world," and they're not going to compromise on it. And they just delivered.
Yeah,
it was really enjoyable.
Yeah, it took. Yeah, it just knew exactly what it was doing, and like the visual effects and everything, and the style was just brilliant. It's really good. Good on him, George Miller. I think it was his name, George Miller. Can't remember. Yeah, Happy Feet director.
Oh,
did Mad Max, Happy Feet, then went back to Mad Max. He did Babe as well, I think, didn't he? Or something like that. Okay, now, let me just check this out. I think it's George Miller. But yeah, he's been trying to get that film out for like 15 years or something.
Christ.
That Mad Max film, yeah, George Miller. If you can believe it. And it's crazy, isn't it? But yeah, he...
Wild. What a wild career trajectory.
Really weird, but yeah, he did Babe, and so he did Mad Max 2. He did a bit of, he did the Nightmare at 20,000 Feet segment on Twilight Zone movie, which if you remember was like plagued with deaths.
I didn't see that movie.
It's not very good.
And wasn't there a new TV series as well?
Yeah, there's a new series with, what's his name? Jordan Peele. I haven't seen any of them. I was really looking forward to that, and it's—I don't think we've got it here in America, in England. I don't think it's come over on a channel.
Yeah, I'd like to see that because I binged the whole of the original one.
Mm. It's great.
I spent 5 years, so I didn't do it really intensively. Mm. So I really lived with the original series for the last 5 years, and finished it about a year ago.
Okay. I've got them all on Blu-ray. I want to do a series on it, taking each episode bit by bit, because there's some real duds, but there's some real, like, really
quality
cool stuff.
Generally is amazing.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing. And, like, you got to think, that was the first time a lot of those concepts were introduced to a mainstream audience. Mm. And it's like, I see elements of those stories echoed through so much, so many TV, film, books and everything.
Yeah.
Incredible. But I wanted to move on to, like, either the 1980s version of The Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Or do the 60s Outer Limits.
Yeah. Outer Limits were always good. But yeah,
I've never seen any of them.
You know what? They were on, like, TV when we were kids.
Both of them.
That was a newer one. There's a Spielberg ones, yeah.
But the original, the 60s ones haven't been on TV, have they? I don't ever remember seeing them.
I thought Outer Limits was... I don't know.
No, the 1963
one. Yeah, so I'm thinking of the 90s one. But yeah,
that was a reboot thing.
Yeah. Yeah, 60s ones. Oh yeah, 95. Same thing though, isn't it? But yeah, I'd be interested in watching them all. I love all that stuff, like sci-fi shit. But yeah, I was going to say, George Miller, he did Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Did The Witches of Eastwick, which I've never seen, with Jack Nicholson's The Devil.
I saw that quite recently.
Did you?
The first time, yeah. Didn't like it.
All right, fair enough. He did Lorenzo's Oil, if you remember that.
And he's been busy.
Yeah, well, he hasn't. It's a kind of thing. He did Babe, which I knew he did, but apparently he didn't direct it. He wrote and produced it, but I thought he directed it, but obviously not.
Dick King Smith wrote that.
Babe, Pig in the City. He directed that as well. Then he did Happy Feet. He took basically an 8-year gap, and then he did Happy Feet.
That's probably Dick King Smith as well.
Happy Feet 2, 5 years later. Yeah.
DKS.
And then Fury Road, 4 years later.
Yeah, classic Dick King Smith.
Big Dick Smith. so that was what I've been, that's what I've been doing, basically. There's some interesting stuff there.
Good that you keep yourself busy.
Yeah, exactly. So next up, it's me talking to Harry Cloud and going over the Melvins album Stag. So do listen, and it was it'll be worth a listen. But yeah, check out the albums before you listen to the podcast if you can. That's Melvins Stag, and yeah, check out Harry Cloud's The Pig in the Machine. So that's it, basically. Dan, anything you got to add?
Just come back.
Come back.
And, please come back.
Yeah, please come back. And we got our, we got some more stats through. And Ireland, we have a few listeners in Ireland. So hello to the Irish out there. I'm actually Irish. I'm not. My grandparents are Irish. So there's some Irish heritage in there.
Like every American and Englishman.
I know, exactly. It's like, I always cringe when it's like, oh, I'm Irish. It's like, yeah, my great grandfather, whatever, was Irish. It's like, yeah. My grandparents were Irish, but I would never call myself Irish. Though I can get an Irish passport, and I might have to do that for Brexit.
I didn't realise you were third generation.
Third generation. Irish.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, my dad's lot
from
Cork, like every fucking British Irish heritage. They're all from fucking Cork. True story. There you go.
The Gallaghers are from Newcastle, somewhere between Sligo and Mayo.
Simon Mayo?
Sligo and Mayo. Scratch that. Somewhere between Mayo and Sligo.
Okay, right. That's good, isn't it? I took one of those DNA history things and I was 90% British. I was like, oh, how boring. Like, it's 5%, it's like 5% Swedish. And I was like, okay, cool. And then the rest was Eastern European Jewish or something. And I was like, okay, why specifically Jewish? Why are we putting in the religious aspect here? I don't understand. And probably someone's got a very logical explanation for that. But yeah, it's very boring. Like people are like, oh my God, I'm like 20% African or something. It's like, nope, none of that. British through and through. How boring.
I'm 100% English. And people say to me, well, how can that be? Because you must have come from somewhere. And I'm like, yeah, England.
England. And that's why I have a St. George's flag tattooed on my forehead.
Exactly. I'm actually, I'm a highly desirable pawn in a political game being played by extreme right-wing groups. They want to use me as a sort of like emblematic talisman. But I don't really want to get involved.
Yeah.
Not really into their cause. But yeah, it's quite a lot of burden being a 100% dyed-in-the-wool Englishman.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? Being, you know, white, male.
being so bloody English.
Exactly, yeah. It's the curse of our time. Okay, well, that's it, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Guys, thank you for listening to Oddcast Movies, Music and Gaming. If you want to get in touch with us or get a movie, album or game put on our list to discuss, then email us at oddcastoddballs@gmail.com or anewwinterpodcast@gmail.com. This is part of a New Winter Podcast Network, so head on over to anewwinter.net to check out our other shows. You can also follow us on Instagram at anewwinter, Twitter at anewwinter, and you can head on over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/anewwinter. Thanks for listening and see you again soon.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.